Yeah, good evening, everyone. Hope you're all well. Thanks if you join me on Monday night for my country music show. It's great. I had the most listeners ever, and it's growing on strength to strength week to week, which is brilliant. But tonight's a talk show, and you're listening to... Oh, yeah. Sing it again. Yeah, join me tonight. We're talking to Jill Mathias, and it's all about retirement and resilience and things like that. It's absolutely brilliant. She's a wonderful lady. Thanks so much for being on the show, Jill. I call her the posh Radio 4 lady. Anyway, whatever you're doing, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Share this with people. They might enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Karen Blake from Too Hot Marketing, and I help people expose themselves. But when I need a bit of inspiration, I listen to The Dougie Stone Show.
Right, good evening, people. Tonight I've got a good friend of mine. She's become a really good friend of mine, and she's all about resilience. Her name's Jill Mathias, and I think she's got a really good thing to discuss with us. We was having a chat the other week, and it's a subject she's quite passionate about and wants to discuss. So, good evening, Jill.
Good evening, Kirk. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so, yeah, just tell us a bit about your business, really, and then we'll talk about the subjects if you want.
Well, my business is very much helping people go through challenging times. Life doesn't go in a easy arrow upwards. You go up and down. And I help people who are working, going through transitionary stages in their lives. That could be losing their jobs. That could be going through midlife crisis. It could be going through a bereavement. Or more recently, I've started working with people who are going into their retirement.
Oh, yeah.
And how to cope with that, because many people do not have an action plan, and they certainly have no clarity about how they're going to enjoy their later years.
Yeah. And because we had the discussion the other week, because all too often what happens is people say they're not ageist or anything like that, but they view people when they get to a certain point in life. And I don't know why, but then we seem to think that these people are, and I'm generalising now, I'm not saying that everyone thinks the same, that they're not as intelligent, they might be a bit stupid, they're all, what do they know, we're living in it, do you know what I mean? Yet, that person has got a lifetime of experience training. Yeah, it might not be in the technical age we're in now, but, you know, but life and those life skills and those experiences, you know, you can't read them in a book.
You absolutely can't. And I do quite a lot of retirement training nowadays for managers or directors who are coming out of work, so that on the Monday morning after they've retired as a fairly important person on the Friday afternoon, they don't come out thinking to themselves, well, what's the next stage of my life?
Yeah.
It needs planning. You might need to go back on some of the hobbies that you have done. You might want to start journalizing some of the things that you're doing, or journalizing some of your life for the next generation, which is always of interest.
Yeah, because, I mean, we won't go into your backstory, but go check Jill out. If you see her foresight in somewhere or doing a presentation, go and see it, because she's got an amazing backstory about her life, what she's done and experience over the years. And you think, and that's important, isn't it? You know, if I didn't know that, I would... People don't know, if they didn't know you, don't know where you've been, what you've done, and you've had a very interesting life.
Yes, we have. We've had many years living abroad, and I think that when you meet people, it's all about assumptions rather than about what the person is and what they've got to offer. In my spare time now, I work with the Prince's Trust, and that has been a most rewarding experience, working with people who need second or third chances in life to be able to have the right mindset to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. And it's great that you're using that experience for people, because you're right, if someone has been in a very senior, as an example, but it works for anyone, but let's use the senior person in a senior role. Well, there's a lot of pride in that. If you're in charge of a massive team, because people do those roles, not just for the financial, but it's the sense of achievement, a sense of pride, the respect, you know, they've reached the pinnacle of what they wanted to do. For them on a Monday morning, this is what I see a lot of times, Jill. I think that's what you're working on. They're that busy in the career that they don't have any hobbies. So when they retire, they look around and go,
oh, what do we do now?
Exactly. I mean, the perfect story is I had one of my clients is when on the Monday morning he woke up and he turned to his wife and said, well, darling, what are we going to do today? And she said to him, well, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm meeting my friends and there's bread and there's cheese in the kitchen and I'll see you at the end of the day, because he had no plan about what he was going to do. He just thought it would just be an easy transition. But actually, it took a lot of planning. And in order to go and give back to society, it depends what your financial state is, of course. Some people may have to go and do some part-time work. But if you don't need to, there's so much you can do to give back to society in later life.
Yeah, and in that situation, what people fail to believe think is, oh, I've retired now, so we're going to do all these things. Or we're going to. Yes. But if his wife or his partner, and it works both ways, because women's females are the same situation, they've built a life around their life.
Exactly.
So if you've been working 60, 70 hours a week and you've been all over the world and your wife or your husband's been at home, guess what? Over the last 30, 20, 30, 40 years, they've developed their own social network, their own things that they do. Mm. So why should they just then suddenly drop that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, I do. And it actually takes you back to when you first met. It's re-establishing the relationship, because maybe you've had a family and your children have, you've given them the roots to grow and the wings to fly. But then you've got to go and find your own relationship again about why it was that you loved each other in the first place. Of course, going on from there, sadly, there are some people who go into retirement who have actually lost their spouse or been divorced. And that is a different type of coaching or facilitation that I can go and give to other people.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. And and that's why I watched you on the show, because I really like what you're about and what you're doing. It's all about different elements of life and business.
Thank you.
And if someone's... I'd urge people to come and talk to you, because I think you're an amazing individual, and what you've done, your experience is and I'm not just saying it, Jill, I mean it. You're one of those people I look to and think, yeah, Jill's really got it nailed down. She's had a great life. She knows what she's doing. So anyone that works with you is going to more than benefit from that experience. So it's not just about your business, trying to generate your business. It's, you know, it's not just, you're at the right time, and I think your experience affords those individuals that experience.
Yeah.
I think it's really good.
I think what I can give people is clarity and focus and confidence to be able to enjoy their later lives, which could be another 40 years after you've retired, according to medical science.
Yeah, well, my grandparents were both in the 90s when they passed away, unfortunately. Yeah. But, that's not a bad age to...
It certainly isn't.
And so, I'm 50 now, so potentially, you could be another 40-odd years of whatever on the planet.
Yeah.
So goodness knows what's going to be happening in the next 40 years.
Mm. Well, I'm 67 and I love life. I'm still able to enjoy sport. I love my grandchildren and I find the work I do so rewarding.
Yeah, because you did, I'll just throw that in there, you did a lot of tennis coaching, didn't you?
I did, yes, and I still play county over 60s.
Yeah, so did you coach someone, didn't you? Did you coach?
I did. No, my coach was someone called Dan Maskell. Who was a great pal of mine. He was really kind. He coached me and we played in the odd tournaments, and nobody could have been a better mentor to me as I was growing up.
That's great. But and that's it. We're coming up to tennis season now, aren't we? We're coming up to the Wimbledon.
We are. We'll all be cheering Andy Murray on.
Yeah, hopefully. And it's great to have some. But going back to the interview, but that's great that, it's all those bits of... That's why I bring that in, because it's all those experiences that are not business related, but the life related, that you can apply life skills or even sporting skills into business.
Definitely.
And into they're not, as far as I'm concerned, they're not segregated. You can take learnings from each one.
Yep.
That's how my brain works anyway.
Yep.
So you could bring that learning, that teaching that you've learned on the tennis court of working together in a partnership, how to beat your opponents, how to cope with things, what you need to do to train, develop and all the rest of it. And you bring that into your coaching, which is great.
And I think people resonate with that. In fact, you always wonder, when everybody needs as a coach, really, everybody at some stage in their life need to be able to discuss their way forward and an action plan to be able to achieve their own goals, whatever those may be. And I always use the word success, but success is not just money orientated. Success means different things to different people. And very often people can look at things in a negative way, but I'm very keen on reframing your negatives, and that if you are in business, you don't always succeed, in inverted commas, straight away. In fact, sometimes you have to fail in order to go and succeed, to go and get to a better place.
Yeah, and I think people fail. So I see that a lot. I've got a son who's 15, and he gets very frustrated with things that he's done, because we've been given this perception that everything's perfect and everything's wonderful, and everything's instant gratification in it with the internet and all the rest of it. So, for example, he's doing some drawing on the weekend, and he's decided to do something different to the painting, and he's, in his eyes, he's messed it up. But actually, he's not messed up. He's just learned something. Absolutely. That didn't work. Let's do it a different way.
Yes.
So it's like, do some change, you do something else.
Yeah.
And not only is it for people retiring, but we also need people that are younger to understand that not everything's perfect. And guess what? That's okay.
Absolutely. And that is okay to be okay. And actually, who wants somebody who is perfect at doing anything? And you need a great sense of humour.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hopefully developing one of them. No, you're right. If you can laugh, You've got.
Yeah.
I make jokes of all sorts of things, and some people might take it the wrong way sometimes. Yeah. But you know, I'm not trying to be callous. But you've got to enjoy your life. You've got to enjoy what you're doing now, not what you're doing in the future. Just enjoy what's around you.
Yeah,
you know, we're today. We're on a golf course. We've just been to a business meeting, and I come in today and thought, oh, she's beautiful. What a great start to the day.
Absolutely.
I don't even play golf. I don't even like golf. But even so, golf courses are amazing, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And and sometimes, actually, when I'm working with people, if it's a nice day, very often I use a coaching session. We go for a walk because you could admire the nature going along. And it gives people time and the mindfulness to be able to talk through their issues, but to find their own solutions to move forward.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Because I know you're working with a couple of organisations. I mean, so with you being of a much more mature coach, so I'm trying to put in. No, I want to ask you a question, but I'm putting it in that context, if that makes sense. Do you find them more accepting of you because of that, rather than some young upstart? I mean, imagine me going in and saying, "Come on, guys, let's do it." I'm not even in the same wavelength, am I?
No, absolutely. And I think that I can empathise with their issues that they're talking about because I am the same generation. On the other hand, I can empathise with people who are in their 30s and 40s with their issues because I've been there and done it.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you've got grandchildren as well.
And I've got lovely grandchildren. Yes, so the oldest is 13 down to 6.
Yeah.
And I really believe that they keep me young. And it's that wonderful role of being a grandparent, which isn't the same as being a parent.
Yeah, because you can do things.
But
you've also been there, haven't you? So things that you might have been uptight about being a parent, like, oh, daughter's getting dirty in that new dresser bar. It's like, well, she's playing in the... Let her play. It's a different way of looking at it.
Well, it is. And all I want to give my grandchildren is love and time so that they remember me for the fun times. And, yeah, do I return these children filthy? Yes, I do. But I always go and say to my daughter or my son, well, at least you've got all your children back. I remembered all of them. They may be dirty, but they've had fun.
And they'll remember that. That's the fun times, isn't it? You know,
yes.
We're too clinical about everything, aren't we? And, you know, I see a lot of pet. Because I'm involved in scouts. I've never been a scout, but go on some of the camps with when the parents go and everything, and it's funny when you see some of the parents getting uptight that he's not. I mean, some of the kids go away for two or three nights, and the soap comes back and it's still in the wrapper. You know what I mean? But they've had a ball, haven't they?
Yes,
do you know
exactly.
What I mean? You can't force them to do stuff. Yeah. All they want to do as kids is run about, play, don't they?
Mess about. That and just get the experience of doing different things. And if you're doing scout camps, that's a wonderful way for children.
Yeah.
To be able to learn.
It is. Yeah. It's really good. But yeah, I love what you're about and what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've still got plenty of time to chat. We're only half our way through. So what are you currently working on at the minute? Is how do people get hold of you? Have you got any courses or stuff that you're
doing?
Yeah,
well, actually, I do retirement courses. They are mostly being corporate, but I'm very happy to go and be running more of those. I think that people need to learn to know where they're going to spend their later lives, whether they're wanting to give back to society, whether they're wanting to earn a bit of pin money. It just depends on the sort of circumstances. And I quite often work with IFAs who are sorting out, so their role is to go and sort out the financial side.
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of people then need help with sorting themselves out mentally, getting themselves focused, getting themselves motivated, getting themselves into the frame of mind where on a Monday morning they have an action plan of knowing what they're going to be doing. Because the easiest thing when you retire is to procrastinate and to go and think, well, I'm just going to have a cup of tea or coffee and I'll take it to bed. And then they watch a bit of TV and then they'll go and say, well, I'm going to do this, that and the other, but actually never get round to doing it. And I find that procrastination is a big problem within retirement. You need to have an action plan and know where you're going and know that you can really enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I think it's quite dangerous that when people retire, they've not got a plan. Because a lot of people, especially if they've come from a corporate background, will be very tuned into finances. And you're talking about IFAs, which is not independent financial advisor, exactly. For people who don't know. They'll have all the finances in place because that's what they've been drilled into in finances. But you see all too often when people retire and they've got nothing, and this person that was a bright, sparkly person turns into this, almost starts to vegetate, because your mind needs stimulating, doesn't it? Yep,
it does. And actually, that's really interesting you should mention that, because I think there's a lot to go and do with self-esteem and confidence. And people need to understand that with self-esteem is how you feel within yourself. Out. Self-confidence is because you are good at doing something. For example, without me being bumptious, I play a fairly good game of tennis. So my confidence is always going to be in playing tennis. Yeah. But it's important that I feel good self-esteem within myself and the person that I am.
Yeah, I'm sure you're absolutely spot on. You need to. And and what you're doing with it, with the individuals, hopefully that brings them along to that point where they can put things in place, but start doing it now. Before, if you're going to retire in 12 months time or something, start doing something now. Don't leave it till the day you finish. Yep. My brother just retired fire service after 30 years service, done a great job, and he's 50, but he's been planning for the last 12 months what he's going to do post retirement, not only to give him, you know, because like 50, he could have another 40 odd years left.
Well, even 50.
Yeah. So he's now starting his own business, even though he's getting a pension. It's not all just about money coming in through the door. It's about a sense of purpose. And so I think, I've been talking to him for the last 12 months about start doing this, start having, thinking about what you're going to do, have a internet social presence, start looking at what's out there, so that when you start, when you walk out your job on that day, the next day, You've already in that space. Yeah. You've been planning for it for so long.
Yep, yep.
So I think it's quite important. So do you work with a lot of people at various stages?
I do. I think that the idea of working with people 12 months before they retire is a really, really good idea, because it gives them time to put these plans into actions. And you mentioned the word sense of purpose. That is what you need when you are going into later years. You need to have a sense of purpose. Now, as you say, we're at this wonderful golf course. Some people might like to play golf, but there are plenty of people who might enjoy going on the Severn Valley Railway as a volunteer. It doesn't matter what your interest is, but it's important that you enjoy it. And if you are still with a spouse or still with a partner, then actually you enjoy doing different things, that you're not always tied to doing it with that same person. So that when you come together, you've got something to go and talk about.
And I think that's a really valid point, because, if you then go from a point where you've been going out to work from 9 to 5 every day or whatever it is, and then to the point where you're at home 24/7, that can really put a lot of strain on people, can't it? Because,
it can.
And I think you still need your independence and your sense of, this is for me, I'm doing this, whatever I'm doing is for me, you know. And I think that's quite important, hopefully people...
Yeah, and we'll all have experienced people going out to a restaurant and you sitting next to a table where they can't communicate with each other. there's absolute silence between them, possibly because they've been doing a lot of things together or they've just run out of steam. And that's why it's really important to enjoy doing the things that you enjoy doing, maybe that you're picking up on that you did when you were in the 30s and 40s.
I think that's a valid point, because like you say, if you've been together, if you're spending time with someone for 24 hours in a day, then when you go to that restaurant at night, you're not going to say, this happened this morning, love. And you go, yeah, because I was with you, thank you. Yeah, and this happened. And I was talking to Jenny and she said, yes, I was there with you, love. So that you come to the point where there's zero. So even if it's, oh, I've been out today and I've been for a walk or whatever it is, come back, oh, and I've been out and done this. This is a beautiful place, I'll take you there. And I think what you're trying to do is great, because not only are you going to help that individual, you're going to help a whole family, aren't you?
Absolutely. And of course, I mean, talking about the extended family, that is the joy. Sometimes, particularly with a husband, he may not have been able to have lots of time with the children because he's been busy earning the income. Mind you, it could be the same with the female as well. But when you come to being a grandparent, it is a different role, and it's a precious role. And I have to say that I feel so proud to be able to be a grandparent, and I love it when these children come up and they give you these wonderful hugs. It's just that fantastic feeling inside that you've actually given them something, really. Yeah. Well, not given them in material terms, you've given them time and love.
And that is a gift that's better than any money. Priceless. You can give people time. Money's money, money's life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's worthless in some respects. It buys you stuff, but the thing that children want, and I think a lot of people make the mistake when they've got children, where if they're busy, they give them rewards for their absence.
Yeah.
And then all that does, it doesn't fill the void. Yeah. It just begets more, and then they wonder why the kids, you know, don't relate to them, because they've not given anything of substance. Mm. And it doesn't have to be expensive activities. It can be even taking a packed lunch, a couple of sandwiches to the park, sit on a blanket, have a bit of a kickerball around, whatever. It doesn't have to be like Alton Towers or whatever. Exactly. It doesn't have to be sort of the big theme park. Mm. I think that when you strip it back to the most basic and most simple things, I think that's when you get the most joy with kids, in your life in general. It's just taking those simple things and enjoying those simple things.
Yeah, yeah. And it's time. What I do with mine is on my eldest granddaughter's first birthday, I can't remember, I would have given her a book or something. The second time I couldn't find where this flipping book was on the bookshelf. And I said to my daughter, and I said, what I'm going to do with these children, this child and the ones in the future, I'm going to give them 24 hours of my time. And I don't care what we do, whether it's going to a cinema, whether it's going to a theatre, whether it's going go-karting, whether it's going for a walk, but I will give them 24 hours of my time. And that's what I do for their birthday presents now. So they may not be actually on their birthdays, but at some stage later. So they don't get a birthday present, but they know they're going to have 24 hours with me.
And that's wonderful, because what happens nowadays, everybody gets that so much from people, because regardless what people might think, we are financially, we're a lot better. I'm not saying everyone is, but generally people have got a better standard of living and can afford more than they ever could before. So they're getting plenty as it is, aren't they? They're getting stuff during the... You know, when we were younger, you used to go once a week to the shop and get your sweets for the week or that. Now it was a treat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's just normal, isn't it? To go and get stuff every day.
Penny Arrow toffee bar is what I seem to remember. Right. You're too young to remember that.
Oh, I think we used to get half pence ones. You used to get a couple for half a pence.
Thing grandchildren love hearing is about their mummies and daddies when they were young.
Yeah.
So actually, so often during that 24 hours, it may sound a bit boring and dull, but out come photograph albums and out come sort of stories about what their mummies and daddies were doing, which, because parents are so busy these days working, looking after the children, taking them to their extracurricular activities, there isn't always a time to go and talk. And that's really important for children to grow up, just knowing where they came from and what they are, really.
Brilliant. Well, what I've started doing now, Jill, is... On the radio, I can play music, but I can't on... If people are listening to it on the podcast, they won't listen, they won't hear this. So what I've started doing for people is playing them a track that they enjoy or says something to them. So I don't know if there's anything you can think of that you say, can you play me that? And whatever it is, I'll play it next.
I know what it is. It's Coldplay. And I've got it on my reminder here, and it's a Viva La Vida one.
Oh, yeah.
Da, 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 da. Well, I won't sing it. No, I won't sing it. But that's my reminder on my phone. So when I get messages coming through, that's what's played. So I would love to hear that.
Right. So we're going to play that now for Jill, for you listening on the radio, Warwickshire, for you listening on the podcast. Sorry, but copyright laws prevent me. So let's enjoy that. So, yeah, hope you enjoyed that. And it's been wonderful talking to you, Jill. Where can people find you, Jill?
Well, I have a website which is called www.jillmathias.com. Or if you'd like to email me, you can email me on info@jillmathias.com. Love to hear from you and love your feedback and your comments.
It's been great. I just like talking to you. I think you're amazing in what you've done, where you're going and what you're doing. And thanks for spending time on the show. And good luck with what you're doing in the future.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure, Kirk. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And keep changing lives, Jill. Keep changing lives. So thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Brilliant. Thanks very much, Jill.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for being on the show, Jill. Really great to talk to Jill. She's brilliant, isn't she? I call her the posh Radio 4 lady. Think I'm going to have to get to do some jingles for my show. I meant to get her one while I was talking to her. But yeah, great. I hope you enjoyed that, people. And don't forget, you've been listening to... Oh, yeah. Don't forget, on a Monday night, 6:30... Yeah, the Country Music Show. Oh, I'll tell you what, I've had some fantastic feedback this last week. So check that on Mixcloud. Just search Dougie Stone or Kurt Pickstone. You'll find it on there. Hook up with me at Facebook, Kurt Pickstone, or Dougie Stone on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn as well. So if you join me on a Monday, give us your request and I'll see if I can find it for you and play it. Until next week, stay safe, people. Enjoy what you're doing and listen to what Jill said. Yeah, make it happen. See ya! The Dougie Stone Show.